right, ladies and gentlemen, around the Delaware Valley, welcome to the Sparking the Dream special. We've got a fantastic show here on WWDB Talk 860. We're here at the offices of Banks Law. And Sonny, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Joe. I'm looking forward to kicking back over this Memorial Day weekend.
Absolutely. And, of course, it is Memorial Day weekend, so obviously you know, shout outs and to all of our veterans and thoughts and prayers to those who gave the ultimate, who made the ultimate sacrifice, and their families.
Absolutely.
On this weekend, as we gather with our families, we thank them for their sacrifice. Having said that, we do have a great show. Denise Magasich, how are you?
Good morning, Joe. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic. We talk about a lot of the you know, the shows that we've had so far, and they've been, you know, they've showcased a lot of great students and teachers, and today's no exception. If you will, talk about who our guests are today.
With pleasure. So we have a fantastic teacher, as they all are. I guess I say this every show, but we have Jonathan Verlin. He is the business administration teacher, a CTE, part of CTE, which is stands for Career and Technical Education. He's the teacher over at Martin Luther King High School, and we have Christopher, one of his students that took an career exploration class, and it will be joining his program. CTE programs are 3 years, sophomore, junior, and senior, and he'll be joining the program next year. So
awesome.
Extremely excited to have them on. They've done some really great things, and I can't wait for you to hear all these great things that they've done.
So Jonathan, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been in the district finishing up my 21st year.
Nice.
My second year at Martin Luther King High School. So I'm fairly new to the building, but not new to teaching.
Sure. And tell me about the, you know, what you teach at the school.
I teach business administration to 10th, 11th, and 12th grade students, and a career exploration class to 9th grade. And the primacy of our program is Microsoft Office Specialist Certification, where we start with the basics and learn Word, PowerPoint, Excel, and later advanced functions, lookups, charts, pivot tables, things like that. And I try to each day give the students something that they didn't have when they came in to increase their repertoire and to make them as prepared for the working world as I possibly can.
So these are skills they can use immediately.
They can use immediately.
And the CTE program, talk about that, you know, in regards to they learn that those skills, but also what's the goal? To not only teach them that, but also to give them skills for the resume when they decide to what career path they want to take.
Correct, and each skill set is based upon an area of certification which is resume worthy, and they can start using that even before they go to college, which almost all of them do, and get summer jobs while in high school that they can later build upon as they advance their working careers and in college.
And how many kids are in the class?
Currently, I have 20 all told, I think.
And a career, and that's sophomores, juniors, and seniors in that's, career technical.
That's correct.
Okay. And this is a developing program. So he will have next year, he'll have 25 sophomores, 25 juniors, 25 seniors. Or he won't have the 25 seniors yet because it all advances. So
it's a 3-year program, yeah. And they start as sophomores, and as they advance through the later years, we tend to pick up.
Exactly.
And you're with them for the entire 3 years, Jonathan?
That's correct.
And I think, you know, Jonathan's being modest right now when he talks about certification. He has a student that I want him to talk about, Jennifer Blocker, who is a junior right now, and he's done something remarkable. In fact, something that no one in the district, I'm not even sure in the state, has ever done. And I'd love for him to talk to you about that.
Well, I came into CTE with the philosophy that my students should test to the absolute highest level that they can. And she is one of the best students from anywhere. And starting in about October, we were working through one certification program each month, sometimes two. So she's already tested and passed office specialist tests in PowerPoint, Word, and Excel fundamentals. She took and passed earlier in the month her Word expert test. And that she took 2 weeks to prepare. She's ready for Excel, at which point she'll earn the Microsoft Office expert badge. And eventually, I think we should be ready in about 10 days' time for Access. And put together, she will have accomplished all of the requirements and became proficient for master's level certification. Wow. If once it becomes active for the 2019 version of Office.
Wow.
And Joe, so this is something that the school district really works on, specifically in the career and technical education, where the students, all of the students that are in CTE programs, whether you're a welder or a barber, or if you're in business administration or accounting, that they really focus on providing certifications for the students so that they could, it sets them apart, right? So if all the students are going in for a job application, you know, for a specific job, they can say that I have this certification. So I could say I have Excel certification, or I have QuickBooks certification, or I have OSHA 10, which Jennifer also has OSHA 10. And so, you know, that's something that the school district and CTE really, we invest a lot of money and a lot of time with our programs to certify students, to give them that edge.
And Sonny, talk about, you know, obviously how, you know, employable those skills are.
I wish I had some of the skills that were mentioned. And those skills, you know, are transferable to whatever profession you're in, whether it be, you know, law, business. I mean, those are skills that are needed.
And so if you would, because we're going to bring Derek Patterson and Nancy Walsh into the program, talk a little bit about, obviously, you know, what you do here at Banks Law, and a little bit about your career path.
Yeah, Banks Law is a small boutique practice. We focus on Pennsylvania workers' compensation cases. That's really our bread and butter. But we also do some Social Security disability work, veterans benefits, and long-term and short-term disability. Before starting Banks Law in 2013, I worked for a larger plaintiff-oriented workers' compensation firm for over 27 years, and, you know, decided that I wanted to open up my own firm and do it my way. You know, we love it. It's a real customer-focused practice, you know, we like helping injured workers get their wage replacement benefits. That's really our focus.
And having said that, you know, when you were in college, at what point did you know you wanted to be a lawyer?
I think my second year in college, I had an incident where I was a member of a fraternity, and I was actually social chair. The party got broken up by the police, and I got charged I got charged with selling alcohol without a license, and I got a court-appointed attorney, and she did a fantastic job. She got me off on a technicality, and that's really what planted the seed.
No kidding.
Yeah. Wow.
I know, of all things.
That's awesome. Well, we'll hear more about that incident in upcoming episodes.
Yeah, right.
But that's fantastic, and What we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Derek Patterson. We're going to bring Nancy Walsh into the program, and we'll have more from our Spark in the Dream special. And we're going to have Christopher also on the broadcast in just a minute.
Serving my country changed my life forever. And when I got home, every day was a struggle. I felt trapped. But everything changed the day my family received a specially adapted custom home from Homes for Our Troops. Now we have a safe and accessible home to enjoy the freedom I fought for.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
ADHD. It's the child who can't pay attention or sit still in school, right? The answer may be yes. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, or ADHD, can be complicated and it can last a lifetime. Living with a condition can sometimes be a challenge. It may take years to accept a formal diagnosis, and it's not always easy to find the right treatment plan. Did you know that up to 75% of children and adolescents with ADHD have at least one additional mental health condition that also requires a comprehensive approach to treatment? ADHD guidelines were recently updated to reflect the need to screen for associated disorders. Be sure to talk with your child's doctor about proper screening and visit moretoadhd.com for additional information. That's moretoadhd.com. This message has been brought to you in partnership with ADA, ACO, and CHAD.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Our Sparking the Dream special here on WWDB Talk 860. Great first segment. Lots to still talk about. I'm ecstatic to bring into the program. We have our fantastic student, Christopher Ellison Owens. How are you?
Good.
It's great to have you.
Thank you.
And Nancy Walsh, how are you?
I'm great. I'm happy to be here.
It's great to have you. And of course, Derek Patterson, how are you?
Hey, Joe. How you doing today?
I'm fantastic.
That's good.
What I'm going to do is I'm gonna have our attorney Derek Patterson and Nancy Walsh talk about what they do. Then I'm going to bring Christopher in, and we're going to talk a little bit about what you like to do and a little bit about yourself. Nancy, if you would, a little bit about yourself and TBD now.
Thanks, Joe. I'm so excited to just learn from everybody here. I am the founder of TBD Now, where I provide leadership development services, consultation. I develop programs, executive coaching. But really what I get to do is build relationships and tap into what people love to help them do what they do best.
And when did you start TBD Now?
I started in January of 2020.
I thought it was in college after a keg party.
Oh, you want the real story?
that's fantastic. Derek, if you would, a little bit about yourself and the firm.
Attorney Derek Patterson here. Have a firm here in Philadelphia, Patterson Injury Lawyers. We primarily focus on personal injury, car accidents, slip and falls, dog bites, things of that nature.
When did you start the firm?
Actually started the firm in 2021. I was doing insurance defense, and those plaintiff attorneys were kicking my behind. I said, you know what, let me go on the other side and start kicking some insurance defenses behind.
Yeah, and it's interesting because how long did you do defense?
I actually did defense for 2 years.
No kidding.
Yeah, I did defense for 2 years. And actually before defense, I was at a plaintiff's firm. And then I was like, well, let me just see what the other side is like. So I went to insurance defense. And it wasn't bad. You know, when you work for those insurance defense companies, you have a lot of support. Whereas the plaintiff side, you don't really have as much support as you do on the insurance. You know, insurance companies have millions and millions of dollars. So we had a lot of support. But I was like, you know what, I'm going back onto the plaintiff side. So that's when I decided to open up Patterson Injury Lawyers.
Yeah, it's and actually a little, you know, when you going out on your own as an attorney is you know, it's a big step, man.
Sonny, I'm sure you can attest to that, Sonny.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Sonny was doing it for 27 years, so
yeah. I mean, and you know, so taking that first step is—it's
rough. It's rough.
But you knew what you were getting into because you had already done it.
I did. I had tried to do it once before, maybe about 5 years prior. I tried to do it once before, and it failed. So, you know, I went back and started working a job, and then I said, you know, I'm just going to be better prepared next time.
So what that means is, so if you first don't succeed, you know.
Try again.
Yeah, that's right.
Dust yourself off and try again.
So Christopher Ellen Owens, Allison Owens, a little bit about yourself.
I go to Martin Luther King High School. I'm 14 in the ninth grade. What I like to do in my spare time, I like to play video games, or I like go around my neighborhood, see if anybody need help with something, do a little hustling. Every Tuesday, me and my sister will take trash out for money.
Oh, wow.
Or
do you do that for other people in the neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
And let me tell you something. You know what we call that? Self-starting. And that means that, you see an opportunity and
take it.
That's right. And you see, yeah, and where somebody else doesn't. It's an interesting thing because you're walking down the street and some people are just looking ahead. You see a lawn that needs mowing and you actually say there's a financial opportunity. Before we get into, you know, what you love about school and a little bit about what you want to do, you have a question?
What made you want to be a lawyer?
So, I pretty much wanted to help people. But actually, before I became an attorney, once I got out of undergrad, I was doing TSS, therapeutic support staff, with the one-on-one, with the children that need behavioral support in the classroom. So I was doing that. So I was helping kids in that manner. I said, you know what, let me just continue on my path and you know, go to law school and continue to help people.
That's cool. How did you know you wanted to be a lawyer?
Well, I didn't know until my senior year of college. I know Sonny said he was in sophomore year, but I was in my senior year of college when I first made that decision.
When you
decision.
First got in the fraternity, and then.
but I did a summer internship with an attorney down at CJC, Criminal Justice Center, and I was just so intrigued by what was going on with, you know, the judge sitting at the bar of the court, and you had the two attorneys making their arguments, and I was like, wow, you know, I want to do this. So from there, I just decided to go to law school.
And Christopher, talk about what your favorite subjects are at school.
My favorite subjects in school is PE, math, and writing, because I write in my book almost every day about what I go through that day. I have a journal. I wrote about like 10 pages full of it so far, and I'm pretty good at algebra so far in school. I have an 80.
Oh,
and
nice.
PE, I just like PE because
it's fun.
Especially dodgeball.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. What do you like to do after school?
I'll go home for a little bit, take a little nap because my school makes me tired.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
And then I'll go to this community center that's around the corner.
And have you thought about what you want to do and what you want to be when you get older?
There's a lot of possibilities, but so far I've been saying I want to be a pastor for years.
Mm-hmm. And what interests you about being a pastor? Helping people?
Mm-hmm. And blessing others to have a good life.
That's good.
Absolutely. And, you know, have you thought about, you know, when you're thinking about, you know, those types of things and helping people, you know, obviously, you know, life can be difficult sometimes and challenges. What motivates you to want to be, you know, to be a pastor and to help others?
Because it's the right thing to do. It was what God wanted for us to help each other. I've also thought about being like a veterinarian because I love animals.
Oh, you do? Oh, it's fantastic. Nancy, do you have any questions for Christopher?
Oh, Christopher, I had the great pleasure of hanging out with Christopher in the coffee room there, and I don't have any employees, but if I did, I believe Christopher would maybe be first on my list, except I'd be afraid to hire him because I think he would just own my business within a week.
Take it over. but that's called entrepreneurship, by the way. What, you know, the fact that, you know, you and your sister, how old is your sister?
My sister is 12.
12? And you know, when, you know, it's an important, you know, a part of individual having that entrepreneurial spirit. Well, that's what I was asking Derek, why he wanted to own his own firm. Okay, yeah, a lot of attorneys go to work and they work for other attorneys, And it's not real easy to go, go start your own, because now you got to get clients and all. How do you get your clients when it comes to, doing the lawns and landscaping and stuff like that? You knock on the door?
I think you have to knock on the door and talk to them. You have to get to know the client in order to get them.
Yeah.
If I could jump in, one of the kind of founding principles on everything I do is the importance of building relationships and getting to know people. And I was really struck by how just kind of instinctual that is for Christopher to just watch people and learn about them and then use that to develop relationships and solve problems. So could you maybe give examples of how you've used that skill to just, get to know someone and see how you can help them or how you can make money from them or build a business opportunity?
So one of my friends, Anaya, met her at lunch when she was sitting by herself. So we started telling each other secrets and asking each other the stuff that we're good at. And so whenever one of us need help, we'll help each other. So my friend Anaya, she has a little problem with math homework and stuff. So I help her with math. She's good at science, and Lord knows I'm terrible at science. So she'll help me with my science homework, and we'll compromise too, and sometimes make bets too, who can get a better grade.
You're bringing out your competitive spirit there. That's what makes people like these guys successful.
That's right.
Oh, and this pseudo competition. So my friends Rakim and Kwasir, since we know each other, we was able to work together. So we had each our own slide. A pseudo is when you give ideas for a podcast. So we decided to do something based on Generation Z, since we're Gen Z, and talked about problems of Gen Z of what we would do in our podcast, since Gen Z also has a lot of problems and that, so parents can understand their kids, since they're since it's a lot different than it was back in the day.
Now, have you thought about I know you're a freshman, so you got plenty of time, but your grades, you start out as a freshman, sophomore, before you know it, you're talking about college or what you want to do after high school. Have you thought about, and it's early, so I mean, but have you thought about what you might want to do after high school?
I've thought about it a lot, and I still can't make it on my, because there's a lot of different things.
Right, you got plenty of time. But I will tell you one, so I will say that, the grades, the grades count even at an early age, right? How about your homework? What's your process? So you come home, you do your homework.
I'll come home and I'll take a little power nap, then I'll wake up, do my homework.
Power nap.
And I'll listen to music while I do my homework.
Oh, who do you like, by the way?
Well, I like video game music, to be honest.
Oh, yeah?
They're a lot catchier.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so he's kind of cutting edge, right? He's not into this pop culture stuff.
Plus, most of the music these days are inappropriate. They talk about drugs, guns,
okay,
and sexual intercourse.
Well, you just opened up a whole ball of wax there. Well, let's talk about, every day, and we talk about it on our radio shows, a lot of that stuff is in the news, okay? And how do you, peer pressure, having, other kids, try to...
I'll turn around, walk away, or just ignore them.
Yeah, and because you know how... It stuff is in front. You see it every day.
It's easy to be corrupted if you pay a lot of attention to it.
And where did you learn that, by the way? Who gave you those values?
My mom and my dad and my brother and some YouTube videos I watched. And a couple of video games that I played.
I mean, by the way, that's pretty mature. It's interesting. Why don't we talk about something called leadership, okay? And in at your age, okay, people often, kids always want to be accepted, right? They always want to hang out and with the crowds and all that stuff. And by the way, that's cool. I mean, as long as the crowds are not doing doing anything wrong, but it's the ones with the strength that are not afraid to be their own woman or their own man. In other words, to not have to go to the crowd, because if the crowd does something stupid or whatever, and you,
then you're going to get in trouble if you're part of it.
That's right. And Derek, talk about when you were a young person. And by the way, I know it was so long ago.
Come on,
we can
Joe.
Barely remember.
Come on, Joe. Jeez, come on.
Listen, so, you're what, 5, 10 years older than me? I don't know.
So I want to say, Chris, you got something great going on, right?
Thank
I can already see that you're going to be someone who a lot of people looks up to when you get older. And I want you to keep those values instilled in you. I mean, just from the fact that you saying that, during the week you go around to people's houses and you knock on their door and say you'll put out trash for them for money. That's a lot better than what a lot of these other kids are doing, where, they're running around doing inappropriate things to try to get money. So you're already on the right path. And I don't know if you hear the saying, product of my environment. And a lot of people, they automatically think because you're from the inner city that everyone's bad and they're doing all these bad things, and whatever you see on the news is what happens in the inner city. That's not always true. I'm from the same type of neighborhood you're from. I wasn't a product of my environment. I was a leader. I knew when I saw trouble, I knew to go the other way. And that's what I see in you. I see that you're able to detect problems or detect trouble and go the other way. And that's exactly what you need to continue to do to be somebody in life, Chris. So I really appreciate you doing what you're doing right now as a 14-year-old kid.
Thank you. Like, I will see, like, a big crowd after school. Like, if I see a big crowd, that's how I know that someone's getting in a fight. I'm like, I'm going the other way.
Right.
Because they could pull a some type of weapon, like a gun, and shoot somebody. They could miss and hit somebody else. So what I would do, I would turn around and wait at the bus stop.
You know, Sonny and I have done shows. We had pastors on, okay? And, it's the Black Clergy shows that we've done. And I'm trying to think of the pastor's name, but very interesting. He goes to the prisons, and sometimes there are people in there who are, not much older than you are, who made a mistake. And they made a mistake because they followed the crowd and all. And like I said, look, if the crowd is doing good things, if the crowd you're looking, they're positive in school and helping people, great. It's not every crowd's bad, but my point is, the crowd we're talking about is the crowd that makes the news. It only takes one mistake to change the course of your life.
Tell them.
Okay, so like Derek said,
tell them, Joe.
I would say this. I'm going to tell you a little story. And it changed the course of my life. 1 second changed, and I'm talking about everything. And it wasn't a crime or anything like that. I was a senior at Roman Catholic High School. And I got sick one day at school. I decided to go to baseball practice. And I was a good baseball player. It was the end of the year. We had like seven games in 10 days left. And it's the end of the year. You're a senior, and I'm getting recruited, and I'm going to play baseball. Kid hits a foul ball at Roxburgh Avenue, and it hit some lady's car. I went and told that lady to call the school. They wanted to know who told that lady that. I did. Well, I couldn't have told her because I wasn't in school that day. I got 10 demerits, kicked off the baseball team. My entire life went like that. I had to regroup everything. Now, I didn't let that destroy me. Sometimes things are going to happen. You got to regroup. Not everything's going to go well. But my point to you is that life can be difficult enough. You're going to, you get the lemons, you make lemonade. You already know that. You already have the principles to be success. You already have the leadership qualities it takes, right? Let alone if you're trying to screw it up. Okay, I wasn't trying to screw it up. I made a mistake and it cost me. And sometimes you're unlucky. But I would say to young people, and a lot of those young people, and Pastor Damon Jones is the one. He told us, he goes unfortunately to prisons, and there's kids your age, maybe younger, maybe older, that made one mistake in their life, but they were looking for trouble and they found it. You already have the skills, the skill set to be a leader. What you're doing in your conversation is, what you're telling us here is that you're a leader, okay? And guess what? You take those qualities and you study hard because it counts, okay? And I would say that too. I mean, Derek, how did you do in school when you were a youngster?
So I did very well. My parents, you know, were fortunate. They sent me to Catholic school first, to eighth grade. Then I went to a public high school for 9th to 12th. And I went to college, and I excelled. I excelled through all those years. But to be honest, I struggled in law school, and that's just to be quite frank with you guys. I struggled in law school because I guess I was a smart kid, you know. So I kind of took, you know, studying
took it for granted. Right?
Took it for granted. I did. And Chris, do not take studying for granted. Right now, you are getting a free education. Take full advantage of that. Take full advantage of Mr. Verlin's class. All the extracurricular classes you can sign up for. Sign up for them. It's free education. Knowledge is powerful. Knowledge leads to so many other opportunities. So when I got to law school, because I just got good grades, and they hit me with, you know, these tests, and I had to study for this. I couldn't understand it. Because I didn't take advantage of other opportunities that I had that were given to inner city kids. I didn't take advantage of the opportunities. I just thought I had it sweet. So always take advantage of that. And then so later on, when you get in life, things will just come to you easy. But I see you're already on that path. But also make sure you stay in Mr. Rowland's class too.
It's a great point. Studying, for example, and understanding. I've told this story a lot of times on the show. You may not have seen this, but I'm sure your teachers have seen. There's a commercial on TV, and it shows all these basketball players and football players and all these athletes and all that. And it's about the NCAA, and it says that those 10,000 college athletes in America, or 100, I don't know what it is, but every one of them is going to go pro in something other than this. 99% are going to go pro in something other than the sport that they're playing, which means, and what's great about that is whatever you want to be, all you got to do is study and do it. Now, if you want to be in the NBA or the NFL, well, there's no guarantee there, okay? Because it's a crapshoot. But in life, You know, and right now you're just getting exposed to different topics and all those things, right? Mm-hmm. You're just learning. Once you pick one, man, the world, you know, there's no limit. The sky's the limit. So that's the beauty of it. And the one thing I think also that is important is that, like Derek said, don't ever take studying for granted. I'll tell you why. Because, you know, staying in a groove and doing it and keeping things going. Once you stop studying, you think, well, guess what? I can always pick it up. You can't. So keep doing what you're doing. Nancy, you, the programs that you have and that you put together, talk a little bit about them.
I love talking about my work because it puts me in front of people like this, and particularly people like Christopher. I work with all age groups from high school straight through. Next week I'm doing a board development leadership retreat. But everything I teach is about principles that our Christopher here seems to innately have embraced at such a young age. First starting with self-awareness and understanding what makes you tick, what makes you happy, what are you good at, what do people come to you for and say, hey, Joe, I need somebody to talk through something with me. And you start to think, oh, I must be good at that and I like that. And then self-awareness combined with empathy. I don't know if you know what empathy is, Christopher, but
compassion.
You got it, dude. You live it. You look at someone and understand, well, what do they need? What's going to bring out the best in them? And even though that seems like, well, that's nice, but how is that going to help me be a successful lawyer or a successful businessman? It helps you think, well, gosh, if I have a client and I need to get him to open up to me and share his information, how do I talk to him? What does he need from me to feel safe? What's going to bring out the best in him? So when you have self-awareness and empathy, you you understand how to work with people and how to bring out the best in yourself. But another thing that's really important to me, and if I could, I would love to kind of bring it back to something you talked about this morning, Christopher. One of the most important things that I focus on when working with people is their story. What happened to them in life? What challenges do they have? And how does that kind of direct what they do with life and all of the things that kind of inspire them? And if it's okay, I would love for you to share a little bit about your story with maybe some of your health challenges, like we talked about this morning, and what you learned from that that's already made you a great leader. And even though it was something that seemed like a challenge, and certainly is in some ways one of the greatest gifts you've had. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
So when I was 3, I was diagnosed with diabetes. Diabetes is when your pancreas can't produce insulin for your body that keeps your blood sugar in check. So ever since I had diabetes, I had my fair amount of challenges. One of them was bullying. Some kids in my school were bullying me for having diabetes. But once I understood, like, I would observe them, like, find ways to get back at them. But when I see what was really going on, I understood that they were only releasing their anger out on me. Because I was still a happy, fine person since I knew what it was. And I always saw the bright side of everything. And so I thought, like, oh, wow, so since I had diabetes, I could possibly teach others what it is. And like it will also help me. So if I have a situation where I can't do anything, they will know what to do and do it for me.
Yeah, I would like to jump in there. First of all, when it comes to the bullies, right? That's a weakness on their part. That, you know, they need acknowledgement, and they think they can pick on somebody smaller than them. You know, you never know. You'll probably get a growth spurt someday, and the next thing you know, they'll see you on the other side of the street and run. But by the way, that's a weakness on their behalf, And it ain't cool, man. It ain't. And I can say that a lot of times, you know, so a lot of these experiences that you're going to have, understanding them is and being able to kind of like think through them. Have you ever talked to anybody about being bullied? In other words, your parents or mm-hmm. And what did they say?
They would tell me that, they were the ones that told me that you only bully if there's something going on yourself, you don't know how to deal with it.
Well, also, it's a weakness on the other parts. You know, on the other individuals, they need acceptance. They need it's a weakness. So, guess what? You're a strong person just for understanding it, and that, just understand it's got nothing to do with you. It's those individuals. So that's their weakness. They're just trying to be strong and stupid. But let's talk about your diabetes. I have this right here. I have type 2 diabetes.
I had it. I got to put another one back.
Yeah. Then. Well, guess what happened to me? I usually keep it right there. I was telling Sonny, this happened to me this week. So this is interesting. So do you have type 1 or type 2? Do you know?
Type 2.
Okay. So in the last week, this never happened to me. You get a sensor. This is a sensor. You have a monitor. Okay.
It's better than sticking yourself.
Oh yeah. And I was doing it, but let me tell you something. I don't know if it was funny or not, but, I put the sensor in. You put it up and it goes, it doesn't hurt at all. It stays on this thing here. You go to take a shower. It don't matter. Well, when I put this one in on this arm, I pushed a little too hard and it hurt. So anyway, I'm working a couple nights. Sometimes I work after midnight. You see my emails.
Yeah, it's 12:30 in the morning.
So I'm upstairs. I'm downstairs at my computer, and I can hear my sensor going off like it sounds like a fire alarm. Right. Yeah, that's right. Right. And I'm like this, and I've like an A1C of around 6.7. So it's not really. You know, I mean, I'm kind of moderate, and if I lost some weight, I could definitely. And I'm going to. So eventually, I'm going to get rid of it. My wife will be, you know, I wish she was here when I said that. But anyway, all of a sudden, the thing starts going off like a rocket ship. It's the middle of the night, and my sugar's 61. And I'm like, man, that's weird.
So, it didn't feel like your sugar was 61. Sometimes it's wrong. It'll have what's it called, magnifying glass with the blood on the side of it. That's telling you to use the pricker, because sometimes the thing is wrong.
Where were you 2 weeks ago, right? That never happened to me before, right? Listen to this. Exactly. So I wish that I had that. So I don't know how to read that darn thing, so I've never had an issue. Next couple days, my sugar is going down. I got things of orange juice. I'm gossiping. But I feel great. I mean, everything's great. Next thing you know, I think it's Saturday. I got a radio show at 6 o'clock, and I'm going to be live on the air. And by the way, this show is going to be on the radio, so you're going to be on the radio this Tuesday. You'll be signing autographs by Tuesday afternoon, so get used to it. But anyway, next thing you know.
You going to the bathroom a lot?
No, I have not. I wasn't. That's what I'm saying. There was no. It went down to 42. I'm on the phone with my doctor. He's like, you should be flapping around like a fish out of water. And it turns out the sensor. I picked up he said, take the sensor off. There was blood all under it. It was getting it right here. It was getting infected.
Oh, I had a situation like that too. One time my sensor said 47, but when I told my mom and dad I didn't feel like that, I went to use my pricker. My blood sugar was actually 317.
Well, you know what's funny about that? I'm drinking orange juice. It's going up to like 150, 160, and then in 5 minutes down to 53. I'm like, all right, I'm going to black out sometime. Now, if they would have called the doctor and asked what my symptoms were, it would have been hyperventilating, a nervous wreck, because I was trying to do everything to compensate, right? When I took it off, it was like 190, because I'd been taking sugar like it's going out of style. But that, you know, that was a major lesson. Just like you said, yours was 317, mine was, but diabetes is it's something you got to manage, and it's great that you understand it. I'll get his number just in case I'm in trouble again. But listen, Christopher, it's awesome to hear your story. Keep doing what you're doing. Okay, your perspective is awesome. Stay away from them, the kids that are going the wrong way. You study. You pay attention to your teachers. And you're going to be a major success.
Thank you.
And, we're so happy to have you on the program. That's Christopher Ellison Owens of Martin Luther King High School, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have more from the Spark in the Dream special in just a moment.
Battles aren't won solely on the field. That's a common misconception. Battles are won within. Over enemies of fear, enemies of doubt. In that place where promises are kept. Promises to oneself.
This is a physical training event.
Promises to one's community.
Healthy people move debris out of their house.
Promises to one's country. In the heart of every Marine, you'll find a promise. A promise forever kept. A promise of battles won.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to our Spark in the Dream special here at Banks Law. WWDB Talk 860. We've had a great show. Of course, Sonny Banks, teacher Jonathan Verlin of Martin Luther King has been on. Denise Magasich, Philadelphia School District. Derek Patterson, attorney. Nancy Walsh, TBD now. And shout out to Drew Walker, who's here and working the cameras. And who's our friend here? Matt Davis,
yeah,
shout out to Matt Davis in the house, who's for some reason has an A's hat on. How do you get past security? Son of a gun. But it is a cool hat. We're going to bring Christopher back in because a couple things. And first of all, any shout outs that you want to give since you're on radio?
I have to give a shout out to my mom and my dad, my brother, my sister, all my friends, because they're also one of the reasons why I keep going.
Awesome. Fantastic. And Nancy, you brought something up during the break. You want to?
Absolutely. Christopher, we talked a lot about leadership having to do with understanding people and having empathy. And you told me a story earlier that goes back to the bullying that you experienced when you were first diagnosed with diabetes. And I would love for you to share that story because I think it says an awful lot about what
karma.
Kind of person and karma. Amen.
But it's also a great lesson as well. Go ahead.
So when I was in second grade, that's when I had to explain what my diabetes were. So we're going, I don't remember his name.
Wasn't it Bruce Springsteen or something like that? It was Jay-Z. Let's just call him Jay-Z.
Yeah, you go, call him Jay-Z. So I got into an argument with him one time, and then he just started spewing stuff about my diabetes. So then after I heard that, I turned around and walked away. And then thank the Lord and karma that happened. Next week, he came back to me, explained his situation about him getting diagnosed with diabetes. At first, I wanted to laugh at his face and turn him away. But then I realized that instead of like being enemies any longer, I could help him instead so he doesn't have to go through what I went through. So after explaining to him all the stuff, what he needs to do and what will need to happen and the changes he will have to need to make, then like we became friends and he also gave me $30 for helping him.
$30 in second grade, where'd he get that? He's an entrepreneur also.
Right.
Of course, well, first of all, that's a microcosm of life right there. So but talking about being a bigger person and then how life kind of comes around. I mean, you know, Derek?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Well,
I'm just so intrigued by what Chris is saying.
That's what I mean. It's impressive.
I'm very impressive. But when we went on the break earlier, I would say, who needs WebMD when we got Chris here? But Chris, I mean, with you telling us that story here, it shows you've been mature, I mean, since a very young age. A lot of kids would have probably done what your initial thought was to do, which was to laugh at the guy and say, aha, aha, look, you have the same thing I do. But you turned it around. You were a mature person. Everybody said, okay, let me help you along the way. And it's good that, you know, the two of you guys have something to relate to. And now you guys are good friends.
And guess what? It also shows pretty a promise as a political leader. Okay, taking that situation, turn it around, being a friend. And now you got your two resources. Great to have you on the program. I'm going to bring your teacher back into the program. If you'll hand your headphones over to Mr. Verwin, that would be awesome. Jonathan Verwin, welcome back to the program.
Great to be back.
And so, there were some pretty nice life lessons there from
Absolutely.
Christopher. You know, it got to make you proud as a teacher to know that you have students that are worldly, but also have a nice perspective on life and can turn a difficult situation into a positive.
Which is why I went into teaching, to be able to set the example through the dignity of hard work and the nobility of adhering to the rule of law. I can aspire my students to the moral, cultural, and intellectual grandeur to which they are eminently capable.
And it's interesting. You know, one of the things we didn't talk about today, and Derek, you're a successful attorney, but as an African American male, you're in an industry that's been, you know, and Sonny as well, obviously you're the minority.
Right.
Okay, you're in a field that's predominantly dominated by, you know, Caucasian males. Talk about, you know, any challenges and your pathway coming in and obviously overcoming them.
All right. Hold on, let me just give a shout out to Sonny, because Sonny is the only African American workers' comp firm in the city of Philadelphia. Is that right, Sonny? Right. So
right.
Shout out to Sonny. For
oh
that
yeah,
first.
No, that's right.
Yeah. And big applause.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But Christopher, I want you to listen to this as well, because you know there are different obstacles that every one of us is going to have to address as we get older. Okay, as life comes at you, talk about the challenge of that you've had in overcoming them challenges, Derek.
You're going to have challenges in life regardless of what you endure. I mean, not only as an African American, but just people in general. You're just going to become attorneys, whatever profession you go to, you're going to endure challenges. But as African American attorney, people don't, when they see me, they don't automatically look at me and think
he's the attorney.
An attorney. A lot of times when I'm just like downtown, just running errands, I'll just have on like, sweatpants and a shirt. And I'll go into a court building and I'll say, hey, I'm here for such and such. And they say, oh, no, sir, you need to go to that line.
Where did defendants go? Right?
Without even asking me, like, hey, how can I help you? And then I'll give myself the opportunity to say, hey, I'm an attorney. Here's my bar card. I need help with X, Y, and Z. They just look at me and automatically think, I'm someone who's part of the system.
Right.
So that's just something that I have to overcome. I don't let it get to me. I know, it is what it is. Even one time, I had to go to family court for something one time, and I was in there with just like sweatpants and just a jacket on, and the lady said to me, I specifically had to go, it's the attorney booth. I go to her, and I went to this lady several times. She just didn't see me in a suit. And I walked up to her, and she said, oh, no, sir, you're supposed to go over there. I said, ma'am, I come here all the time. Attorney Derek Patterson, here's my boy. So, oh, I'm sorry, counsel, I'm sorry. And her whole mood just changed. And I'm like, miss, I'm the same person. Why did your mood change from when I have on sweatpants to when I have on a suit? You know what I'm saying? So you just got to, you can't let it get to you. You just got to continue to remain a professional. Even a lot of jobs. When you go to apply for a job, they look at you as an African American, and this is not a knock on anyone, whoever hires attorneys, but this is just my thought. I think a lot of firms, they hire younger Caucasian women over another qualified male. And I don't know why it is, but it just happens like that. But you can't let it get to you. That's a lot of reason why I started my own firm. I know Sonny said it earlier in the broadcast. He said, listen, I wanted to be my own man. I was tired of working for someone else for 27 years. Now, look, Sonny's driving his own ship. So that's what I said. I said, listen, I was becoming stubborn at jobs because I didn't want to adhere to their rules. I wanted to run my own shop and do what I wanted to do. So that's where I am now.
That's an interesting, and by the way, well said, Derek. We only have a couple minutes, but Jonathan, talk about, when you're educating students, okay, soft skills, and they're going to, face challenges where they have to go for job interviews, even maybe a college interview, and trying to prepare them for life along with, the education that they're going to get. And sometimes some of those situations are going to come up. Talk about that.
Yeah, I think it goes back to the very reason that Martin Luther King High School was founded, doesn't it? Judge people not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character, which not everyone does, even to this day. You just have to do the best you can, bring to bear what knowledge and experience you have, and rise above it.
And also the role models that individuals that have proved that whatever the barriers are and the walls can be knocked down.
Absolutely. You don't have to allow other people to stand in the way between you and what you can become.
Absolutely. And that goes handed, with the education that you're preparing them on, those life skills like you're talking about, Derek.
Right.
That's why it's important to have this opportunity to see people who look just like you, to know that success is imminent. You work hard. So let's do this. We're at the end of the road here on this broadcast. Our star guest, Christopher Ellison Owens of Martin Luther King High School. You did a great job. Fantastic. Absolutely. I want to thank Jonathan Verlin, teacher at Martin Luther King High School. Fantastic. And as always, Denise Magasich. This has been awesome. Fantastic. And of course, Nancy Walsh, and this is your first actual right into the actual broadcast.
That's right.
It won't be the last. You'll be here next week
I'll
also.
I'll be back.
That's right. Of course, Derek Patterson, as always, you're, you know.
Am I still a guest or am I like
you're
an
like
honor?
A host.
Like, I don't know. Sonny, am I still a guest here or I don't know?
It's like a host. Okay. Like a host.
Because I was in the back and I just grabbed a pack of fruit snacks. Right. I said, wait. This...
Right, exactly. And of course, Sonny Banks for making it all happen. You know, that's the. This great stuff. And by the way, I think I told you this at last week's show when you were out of town. Denise made sure at least three or four times we were. She's a media person, so we were giving the shout outs and so I want to thank everybody for being on the broadcast. This has been a Spark in the Dream special on WWDB Talk 860. On behalf of everyone on the panel, I'm Joe Doherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.